Hi, Dr. Mark back with you again about the shadow sides, and we're now going to talk about how they are dangerous. They really are. And how we then can continue to, well, we're going to dive into where some of the mechanics of where these shadow sides, these dark sides come into play. And then look at how we then respond to the shadow sides out of reaction. And then compare that to how we need to respond biblically. Here we go. Are they so dangerous? What makes our shadow side so dangerous? Well, we've been talking about danger zones, and we've been talking about all these other affects and effects and things to look for, how they mature us, because it's the anvil where God then pounds out of us all the junk that's in the trunk, as we say. Well, what makes our shadow side dangerous? First of all, denial. Oh, it can't be happening to me. I'm okay. Everything's fine. Thank you. What do we say about fine? We say, I'm freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. That's what fine means. F-I-N-E. And I'm just not seeing it at the moment. Denial. And denial, of course, seems sweet. It's fun for a minute. But then reality hits. And it hurts. So, self-deception is also linked in here with denial. Rationalization, oh yes, it was okay for me because now I can see how as a human being I can do this or that, and God's going to, that's okay with God too, but that I do this intentionally with my dark side, and we can then cover it up. We want to hide and lie and steal and cheat. Or we blame someone else. And we don't deal with ourselves. And finally, victimization. Where, A, we become the victim, and we're in this victim mentality. Or B, we victimize someone else. Because we don't want anyone to know what's really going on inside of us. And we make it someone else's problem. What we call projection as well. What we disdain about who we are, we throw it on someone else to handle, and we project it on them, therefore, and as if they're going to carry it for us. All you're doing is being negative and creating problems for her or him, and even more problems for yourself. Well, where does this all go? Where's the danger here? Well, it goes back to unmet needs. How does this fit as we look at the puzzle pieces? The first puzzle piece is about events. Events. Like we said earlier in the previous video, looking at rejection events, looking at how people tease you because of the acne or because you weren't so tall. Or, and that's mild, too. Then you've got the alcoholic father to the extreme, and then the whole alcoholic pattern in the family, and people are saying, well, is he drunk again this weekend? Shame, embarrassment. From the embarrassment comes the self-shaming, the self-loathing, depression, spirals right on down. So unmet needs, needs where we need to address these things. We need to be heard. We need to be understood as well as to understand. And as you go into these dating relationships, or you're helping someone through these dating relationships, saying, what needs are not being met, have not been met in this person? Or in you? And are you trying to make it the other person's job to meet all of your needs? Now, they can meet some needs, but not all of them. We depend on God for the whole. So the unmet needs speak to also our security. Because when we have unmet needs, or needs that go unmet, we then resent the people who are supposed to meet those needs, so we say. And we hold on to those resentments. We make them into grudges. And then they threaten our security. Spiritual, emotional, mental. And then, of course, we do the blaming and shaming again. oh, it's their problem, not mine. Because you feel insecure. That's why we say, oh, that person must be insecure. I know. Yeah. It has to do with this. Why are they insecure? Unmet needs. If you can help the person to address them, the more mature, the more healthy, the more you can work through conflict with each other, the better the relationship can be and the better the marriage. So when we look at this, we also look at deprivation of needs, how we bring deprivation to our own needs. Because, you see, with some of us, we then will go on to allowing unmet needs to remain unmet. The result, the attempts to satisfy the need controls us. And what we want to do is we want to keep blaming and shaming, or we want to keep striving to cover things up or to make things look good so that we don't have to deal with our unmet needs or to get them met. Because by this time, when it comes to some needs, you'll probably feel embarrassed or it'll be painful or something of all the above to try to return to that need that was unmet. Or that you just don't know where to start because things have been so layered. You need to unpack those layers with the help of a Christian counselor, therapist. But maybe you say, oh no, I'm fine. I'm not going to go to a therapist or to another mentor. I don't need that. I can handle it. Sure. Point is that we do need help. I need help. We need help from the Lord and from His people. So these unmet needs, they also relate to what we call debts. These are about things that we cannot pay back, meaning that we cannot fix these debts that have been left unpaid. For example, consider credit card debt. And for some people, maybe this is you, it has gone out of control. You maxed out the credit card. You don't know how to dig yourself out, only with God's help. You can't fix it. You need the Lord. Hence, how like sin is like the debt that we say Jesus paid for us, taking the judgment for the death penalty in the high courtroom of God. And He does. And advocates for you and wipes clean your slate. Same way, we feel that we need to be the person, kind of like in the grief stage of bargaining, where we need to pay back that debt, or we feel we need to fix the other person in our relationship as we look at matchmaking and dating, that we have to fix that for that person in order to have a healthy marriage to come. Well, you can contribute to support that person, but you can't fix her. You can't fix him. Only God can, and God may use you in that process, as well as others. But ultimately, it's God's doing, God's handiwork inside that heart. And so, as we consider the handiwork that's inside the heart, that divorce, the abuse, the adoption, sibling death, school failures as examples here, the list goes on, really. These are a lot of the popular ones. But see, as we look at the divorce and abuse and adoption things and when it comes to the sense of loss and also rejection, we need to understand that there are other people involved here who made their choices that caused the loss, that caused the rejection. I'm not responsible for how a couple that I know have chosen to divorce as opposed to working through their issues and then getting resolution and therefore carrying on, or the fact that things are so bad, and of course there's abuse and therefore divorce, and you get the idea. I'm not responsible. They made their choice. And yet we feel like as Christian helpers and counselors and pastors and leaders, we need to be there to help them in terms of fixing them. The minute you go there, the minute that they will start to push back. they'll receive it for a while, let's say. But after a while, say a couple weeks at least, they'll begin to resent what you're trying to do. Because they're saying, you just don't know. However, you can be there to listen and to support. And with God's help, there can be healing and support and life that will come out of that. So those debts, yeah, we can't pay them back. We can't fix the people. God can. God will then repay, says the Lord. He'll bring brand new beginnings and do the miracles. We have to trust God and to be still and know that God is God. He's going to then be there. Well, next slide. Let's take a look at it. I'm going back. I think what we're going to do is look at the stages. Stages of how our dark sides begin. The stages are, okay, there's a debt we can't pay. But also, how does this the shadow side develop? First, the needs that go unmet. We talked about that. Second, traumatic experiences, rejection, stigma, divorce. The examples continue. Stage three, relational debts, things that we think we have to fix. And when we discover we can't fix them, and we respond negatively and go on in that negative vein, the fourth stage, as research shows, is the shadow side develops. So what we need to do is we need to, therefore, confront, resolve, and therefore integrate. Confront the issues, the real issues, and then resolve those real issues, because at first it may seem like how the person is reacting to a given situation may be the issue, and it isn't. It derives from an actual issue going on underneath that reaction. And the person needs to come out of the emotion and the reaction and come into the reframing of what's really looking at things from a new perspective, a new frame, and then getting to the real issue. With God's help, resolving that issue. And then integrating what they learn into life, and as I said before, creating new traditions, new patterns, new things, where that will bring life to the relationship. And there's more joy, and there's more integration of hope, perseverance, character, and maturity. Next video, we're going to look at from confronting, resolving, and integrating to what the actual dark sides are by name. See you then.